Algeria is pretty crucial to the stability of the region. It's the major military power, and it's one of the US's most staunch sort of allies in the war against terror. So its position in the region is sort of a crucial crux. Algeria also has extensive experience of counter-terrorist operations, and it knows the groups that are operating in the Sahel because many of the jihadis fighting there are actually Algerian. So it has extensive experience in dealing with exactly the type of militants who attacked the gas facility yesterday.
Despite its success, it has a rather low profile when it comes to terrorism.
Algeria's got a very painful history of Islamist extremism and terrorism stemming from the civil war that erupted in the 90s that didn't really gather a lot of attention in the West but resulted in up to 200,000 people dead. In the years since that, from 2000 onwards, it's been sort of dealing with a steadily declining Islamist insurgency. This sort of squares in with the Algerian sort of policy of non-intervention. They've never been interested in sort of liaising with other powers to handle their problems. They've always been very focused on dealing with them in-house and themselves. So while this counterterrorism strategy has been ongoing for the last few years and it's had a lot of success at dampening down extremism in the country, it's also had the result of pushing many of these jihadi fighters south into the Sahel of northern Mali and Mauritania and northern Niger. In many ways, it's sort of displaced the problem beyond its own borders. And the trouble is now with sort of added regional instability coming out of the result of Libya and, of course, now Mali, that there's a very real danger, as we saw yesterday, that these jihadis are going to be pushed northwards by military intervention in Mali. So sort of the Algerian government's worst fears coming true, really.
Why has it been so successful in getting them out of the country?
The Algerian government, it's been quite clever in how it's handled the issue. After the forces of the state triumphed over the Islamist rebels during the civil war, they've sort of conducted a dual-pronged approach of really assertive counter-terrorist strategies involving the military and highly trained commando forces to root out terrorists from their sanctuaries, mainly in the east, and offers of amnesty as well. President Bouteflika has sort of spearheaded this amnesty and reconciliation drive, where he said if former terrorists renounce violence and hand themselves in, then they'll receive more lenient sentences. So this carrot-and-stick approach has proven dividends in the country itself. But of course, those hardcore fighters who don't want to get wiped out by the force of the state and don't want to surrender have had to find sanctuary elsewhere. And of course, that proved to be the Sahel, and that's sort of the nexus of this Islamist group, which came to be known as Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb, sort of formed around. And now you've got all these Islamist factions that are affiliated with AQIM or under its umbrella operating in the region that have been bolstered by the events of the last 2 years, and particularly the sort of flow of weapons and training out of Libya.
You use the term Algeria's worst nightmare. How so?
Algeria, as I say, has a painful memory of Islamist extremism, and for that to return in such a bold way is a real embarrassment to the government, especially as in recent months it's sort of been spearheading regional efforts to join together in border security pacts and make public pronouncements that militants aren't going to get across the frontiers. Now, of course, that's not realistic because of the lack of capacity, particularly in Libya, to keep these groups out. There's also the economic aspect, which is incredibly important. Algeria is overwhelmingly reliant on hydrocarbon for its economic well-being, and particularly gas. And this gas field that was attacked is a very significant contributor to its overall export percentage. So for militants to not only attack the field but take hostages, and if these unfolding events are true, that the security forces have gone in such a robust way, dramatically elevate the risks for foreign investors in Algeria. You know, Algeria is well aware that these sites were targets, which is why guards and the army were on station to respond to this event. And the sort of fact that they've been unable to defend these workers is going to be a cause of severe embarrassment and perhaps longer-term problems for Algeria in persuading new investors to come to the country and work in these sort of isolated southern regions.
Does it mean that Algeria will now be pulled into what's happening in Mali?
It's a difficult question to answer. Algeria has always pursued this non-interventionist stance, and I think when they opened their airspace to French warplanes last week in response to the French intervention in Mali, which took many by surprise, it also took Algeria by surprise, and they were forced to make a decision one way or the other of which side to come down on. Algerian politicians have been quite equivocal in recent months as to how they would respond to the situation in Mali. They favored a negotiated a solution while not ruling out the possibility of using their military. This now puts them in a very difficult position that these militants have proven themselves able to strike sort of the core of Algeria's economic interests. I would imagine there's some pretty passionate debates going on in Algeria right now as to whether to finally bite the bullet and send the military across the border into Mali. But it's a very difficult decision for Algeria to make, because they've been very wary of stirring up the hornet's nest, if you like, that France has now done. And while the militants have said that the act of opening their airspace to France is a declaration of war, it takes it to a whole different level if you send Algerian troops into the region. Algeria's primary focus has always been to keep these fighters out of the country and beyond its borders. I think they'll remain hesitant to risk opening, you know, Pandora's box and committing to a full-scale intervention, but we'll see what the fallout of today's events will be.